गणपति गुं हवामहे कविङ्कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन्तुभिः सेदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्बत्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं सर्वोपनिषदो गावः दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् इयं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So we've reached verse 26. So let's just read the verse here. You have it there? Page 32. Atha chainam nitya jatam.
Atha chainam nitya jatam.
Nityam vamanyase mritam.
Nityam vamanyase mritam.
Tathapi tvam mahabaho.
Tathapi tvam mahabaho.
Naivam shochitum arhasi.
Naivam shochitum arhasi.
However, if you consider this Atma to be constantly born and constantly dying, even then you should not grieve like this, O Arjuna. This is starting up to here. Lord Krishna has been talking about Atma, about, right, we said so many things, Nityam, Shashvatam, right, timeless, unchanging, and Akarta, Abhokta, not doer, not enjoyer, all these other things, Aprameya, something that can't be known through, the means of knowledge of senses and mind. So all these things were already pointed out. So this Shri Krishna had pointed out everything. So now what happens is Arjuna, I'm sitting in front of him, or not just Arjuna in front of here because he's speaking to Arjuna, but the person hearing it might not have the Shraddha or the subtle understanding of what Atma is. Subtle understanding of what Atma is, or Shraddha, that Atma exists. Okay, so you say this, but I don't see this Atma which is eternal and unchanging. I don't see that. So for this type of person, now what? They'll say, okay, you talk about this Atma, some sort of fuzzy idea, something, how do I know it's really there? So all your arguments are very nice. Nice for the philosophy class. You can go to university and teach a nice philosophy class. But I don't see that. So then for this person, then what? So he says, okay, let's take for argument's sake, let's say Atma is not eternal, born and dies. You're born and die, meaning somebody takes Atma as Jivatma, right? Somebody takes it like this. Okay, you take it as Jivatma. So even if you take it as Jivatma, your worry, your grief is unwarranted. This is what he's pointing out here, even in this case. So this is what he's starting here in this small section that he's going to be discussing this here, like this. So, ata cha enam nitya jatam, even if you think this one, enam is this, and what happens is, as surely Shaila remembers all the Sanskrit grammar she studied, we haven't gotten to it yet, we just started, we're going to start this week, Ramaha, Rama, Ramaha, that's going to be this week, we'll start. We haven't gotten to there. We just started the grammar. So enam is this, but it's referring to, you've already talked about this. Meaning, otherwise it would be etam here. But that's just a very minor thing. But in any case, so if you think of this one as being born, nityam va manyase mritam, and also that it's going to be dying. This atma is always born and dying. Even so, there's no... Tata api, even so, tvam, you, Mahabaho, O Arjuna, na evam, not thus, shochitum arhasi, you should grieve. There's no need to grieve even in this case. Actually, the materialist who doesn't even takes that life is from birth to death and that's it, even this one should have, why grieve also? Because pretty soon I'll be moksha. Because that means death, for that person, death is moksha. Because right now, yes, I want to live and enjoy things. Okay, very good. You do. But the moment you're gone, what difference it all make? It's gone. Okay, you're free, you're done. You don't have to pay taxes, you don't have to deal with pain, or physical pain or sorrow. Done, no problem. So actually the person who thinks like this should actually think, well, okay. They're afraid not to exist after death like this, right? As we said, that's one of the fears I have. That I don't want to not exist in the sat. We said then that means that sat, I'm always there. And I want to always know I'm curious because chitta is my nature. And I want to be, you know, I don't like to be limited by anything. I want to always be happy. So ananda, because what is natural to me, what we said last week, the system rejects what's unnatural to it, right? Something's in my eye. The eye is going to have some inflammation, some tears, because it's fighting to push out what's not supposed to be there. You have a thorn. It hurts because of that. Some disease in the body. The body is fighting it. I have a fever because there's something wrong with the system, some germs got in, so the system's fighting it, wants to get rid of what's not natural, rejects what's not natural. So I reject the fact that I am not eternal, so I'm not sat, always there. So I reject that, and that I'm not cheat, that I want to be, to know. I remember one time I went, a few times only, this synagogue San Francisco my friends go to. So I went a few times, especially in Jewish high holidays, years back. So then I remember they had breakout groups discussion. So one elderly man was talking about, what he's afraid of is being incapacitated, not being able to use his mind. You know, that your mind goes bad. Because I'm afraid not to be the knowing, not to be knowing like this. So I'm afraid of that. So that's cheat, I think, because knowingness is my nature. And then I don't want to be limited by anything. I don't want to be unhappy. So this again, I reject that because I'm ananda. So we pointed that out last time. But in any case, let's go back to here. So this thing, even this, if you think birth to death is everything, there's no, it's not even brought up here. There's nothing really to discuss then. But if you think, you know, you're born and die, and that's your truth, really that cycle is there, then even if you think this, what is there to be worried about? So this is, he introduces this hypothetical idea, like this. If you don't think, if this Atma doesn't speak to you yet, like this. So let's see what he says about it in 27. Jatasya hi truvo mrityuhu.
Jatasya hi truvo mrityuhu.
Dhruvam janma mritasya cha.
Dhruvam janma mritasya cha.
Tasmat aparihāryerthe.
Tasmat aparihāryerthe.
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 Na tvam shocitum arhasi.
Na tvam shocitum arhasi.
Because, now the reason why, death is certain for the one who is born, and birth is certain for the one who is dead. Therefore, you should not grieve over this inevitable fact. So here, just bringing common sense. Have you ever seen something that's born that's not going to die? Is there such a thing? Oh yes, there must. What is it? The universe itself is born. Universe itself is going to go, right? It'll be born, it'll go. Then later, okay, later universe will come, but we won't say it's the same one. Like I have, this year I have plants coming up in the garden. I'll say, I took the seed from last year and I planted it, right? Now you'll say, well, so it's not the same plant, came from the seed, so it's the next one, result of the previous one. So this universe will be a result of previous one, not the same one. Previous universe is parent of this universe, right? Like that, universe parampara, like this, like the people in this way. And then, of course, if you have many universes, then it can be, you know, like a tree, you keep going. And the fact that scientists speak of multiverses is very interesting because the, which is this, Yoga Vasishtha speaks about that so much. So where do they get these ideas, the modern scientists, I wonder then. But in any case, so it's inevitable. And an interesting thing is, just a few years back, before I'm born, what is there before? It's unknown, because it's potential state. Right, there's some potential, unknown what's there. After a few years, I'm going to not be here anymore, gone. Also for me now, it's unknown. That's why people are afraid of death. That's why people speculate what is before, what is after all this, right? So really, what is that unknown? How long is the unknown there? Timeless, right? Before, how long after? Timeless, right? Nityaha, like this. How long here? I'll say, oh, this is, you know, on the one hand, oh, I have to go through this whole long life. I have to work so many decades, you know, all this. On the other hand, seems to go by very fast too. Because, you know, it's just in the mind how fast things seem to go or not. So this whole life, our life is individual. So short compared to everything else. So tiny. That tiny thing, and the whole eternity before, after, unknown. And then this one small time, I make a huge big deal. I'm making a huge big deal out of it, right? It's my whole world and everything. You know, putting into perspective, you put perspective how long I'm here compared to how long, you know, life on Earth. You know, if we drew a line a mile long, you wouldn't even see a dot on it to be how long I'm here like this. And my problems are huge problems. Oh no, what am I going to do like this? So it's very nice if you see, put things in perspective like this. When you think of perspective, how much, you know, me in time and in space compared to just solar system, just that, not even universe, it's nothing. What is it? So in this way. But in any case, so there's some potential, so some potential manifests, and then that then eventually goes away. That's how it's going to be. You've noted that's just the way it is. So if something is in a certain way, For me to have sorrow about it, to feel grief about it, I'm grief about what's natural, what's already there. It's there. That's just the way the world, that's the way it is. If something isn't, if something can be changed, yeah, I can do something better. If something can't be changed, why should I waste my energy fighting against it, right? I can't live if I can't float in the air in this. But, you know. go become Elon Musk's friend and maybe he'll help you, right, like this, to do something about it. You can't do anything about people try to fight the idea that they're death in. There's the story you'd know from the Bhagavatam, the person who Yama comes to take him, and he says, no, you haven't given me notice, right? So he gives him notice by making the vision unclear. So he got some nice contact lenses, or then when they wrote it, there was no such thing, contact lens. It was modern times, they said contact lens, because even more fancy. But, you know, so he got some nice glasses. Now he can see everything, read the paper, no problem. And hair starts getting gray, whatever, falling out, so he can color it. He can get hair implant nowadays in this way. And starts not being able to walk as well, so knee replacement surgery. Now Lord Yama can't get, you know, I'm still young, everything, I can do everything. But you can't cheat time, you can't cheat Lord Yama. You can maybe stretch life a little bit more, right? Okay, instead of 80 years, you live 83, 90, okay. You can maybe make your appearance look like you're younger, but you know, time is time, and it's going to take it away like this. The time eats away everything. So you can't, that's nature. So hiding the fact that people that are trying to hide the fact they're aging, it's a, you know, fear of death. Okay, maybe some social norm, okay, something like this, but still, the hair is turning. Why spend so much time, energy to color it and everything? If you color it, every week or two, you probably have to color again because it grows a little and the gray hair is beneath it. So now it's gray and then the color after, okay, I have to do again like this. Why all this energy? Focus on what's useful, what's in this way. So natural thing is natural. So that's how it is. The moment something's here, some appears sometime, it'll go after some time. A wave comes, the wave will go. You can't do anything about its nature. So then, and the thing is, though, we don't spend time to think about it. We just accept the norm. Somebody born, everybody's happy, even though they're crying, they're cold, they're not comfortable like this. Somebody dies, we're very sad. And people are sad because they're missing the person like this. Even though the person is very old, they say, very good, we're very happy. Somebody just passed recently, somebody I didn't know well, but know family of, very sad, the person was in their 80s, the person wasn't well at cancer, they prayed, okay, let the person die soon so they don't suffer, and they died soon. Very hard, still very hard, of course, hard on family. But the thing is, even though they said, okay, very good, the person didn't suffer, can die. Still very hard on, but it's natural. Of course, the person was born, mean they're going to have to go. Especially lived whole, full life then. So in any case, it's for us to look at, okay, it's the nature. That's nature. So what is an inevitable thing? There isn't anything to be worried about, to be sorrow about. First of all, sorrow, why be sorrow that it's there? And even to worry about, because it's natural that it'll go. Natural came, what is here is temporary, it's going to go, there's nothing you can do about it. So with something you can't do about, the worry of it coming, and sorrow of it after it happens, it's not a sensible thing, but we're emotional beings. Swami Shivananda, he claims that as much as we say we're intellectual beings, we're a lot more emotional beings than intellectual. And that this shows it very clear, but the emotion is there in this way. So this is what's pointing out like this. So simple common sense says that what will born is going to go like this. And what happens also is anything that is created by some sort of process that other will change, also will come to an end because a certain amount of energy is put in, so that much energy can be there till it goes. You know, here we have the lamp, right? We have this, instead of oil, much easier in general to clean everything, this little lamparilla, I think they call it, right? That little lamp in there. And it's very nice. So I'd like to put it like that. You know, so good. So you put it in there. So it'll burn 3 hours or so, 4 hours and finished. Because there's only so much, there's so much wick and so much wax, and that's it. So, like this, certain potential will come and go because a certain amount of energy can only be expent. So a certain amount of energy, something created by an action, will be there for so long and will go. So you can't expect something that's created by certain energy, it'll stay for good. Like this, the universe also created by the totality of energy is here, and then totality of energy also has to eventually decline like this. So this is also something we just have to think. Thing is, we don't dwell on. This is one thing is that, except for in when somebody dies, at least here in the West, as much circles that most of us, I think, are in, that what happens is when somebody dies, then we're dealing with death. But at other times, are we talking about it? You know. For instance, here in California, anywhere you work or any school, there will be twice a year, they're going to have a drill for earthquake, right? Prepare. Teach people, right? I'm not a good example, but okay, have a kit there with food, with water, radio, so you have for a week in case, blah, blah, blah. I haven't done anything like that, so. But people do it, and they check it every month or 2 months and this, and that's understandable because it's earthquake territory. There was a big earthquake in 89 here. So you could be out without electricity and stuff for a week. So good to have it to be ready like this. So people train, they prepare for these things, right? We had the pandemic here, so we learned to be prepared. We learned to put masks, to clean, you know, wipes and everything. Still, I see so many people wearing masks in our area here now. And it's understandable, people are still worried about. So in any case, we do something to prepare. We think about how much that people try to educate about coronavirus like this. So here also, death is there. But we don't think about, no, we close off. We don't want to look at, nope. But the thing is, it's fact, right? It's a fact of life. Anything that's born is going to die. It's a simple fact. So something to look at. The more we look at, the more familiar, easier to deal with like this. Like when my father passed away, then the nurse there, she was so very sweet in this, but very easy going about everything. Because she sees death all the time, working with old people. So she's used to. And so for somebody who's not used, even somebody you don't know, still it's difficult because we're not used to seeing it, right? Somebody sees regularly, yeah, it's a matter-of-fact thing, like this. So this is something to think about and everything. Very important, you meditate on, think about, contemplate death, meditate death, right? Ramana Maharshi, he became Ramana Maharshi through that, just sitting, okay, I have some pain, let's say I died. Okay, very good, I died. Okay, the body's burnt. Okay, body's gone. Well, the individual connected to the body is gone. Okay, it's gone, okay. Okay, so that's what I am done. There was nothing else to do. Then he was a teenager and became Krita Kritya. Somebody who's done nothing left to do. Because he saw, okay, so what is there? I'm done. What is there to do? So became very aloof from being a normal kid running around playing this to becoming aloof about everything. Because, okay, this saw the temporary, how this individual's temporary. Once it's gone, oh, that's what I am. So whether it's here or not, the appearance of individual doesn't matter. So finished like this. So because he looked into it. So at least we can look into what'll happen, the body's gone, mind gone. Okay, if that happens. We can also think about that, look into it. Because we're going to have to die anyway. So why not be prepared for it like prepared for other things? Do I want to, if I don't think about it, when it comes, how much more scary, how much more hard? Because unknown like this. So, this is an important thing that we don't look into like this, in this way. Have to look into and slowly think about, learn about, not just leave it like this, in this way. And then what happens is that we hear about the philosophical things about this, we hear, but then we don't dwell on them. To dwell is to, for, the mananam is to understand more, to clarify about, and then nididhyasana is once it is, it really is digested, it's applied in my life. We learn language, so it's applied in my life. We learn certain logic, we learn to drive, to be careful, we apply in our life, right? The pandemic was here, we applied certain things in our life to be safe. So we learn this, we'll apply in our life in this way. It'll naturally, the wisdom, that's between knowledge is one thing, I know something. I know atmanityaha abhokta, right? Akarta, I know in my mind. But I know in my mind. Wisdom is that it's, you know, I've digested it, so wisdom, it becomes then second nature in this way. It's people that are street smart, they have wisdom, right? Because they know how to get along in, with different situations. So that's wisdom. They might not have intellectual knowledge. Somebody has a lot of intellectual knowledge, but they're not practical in this way. So digested, then it's clear like this. So actually you see Mahatmas, you see how they're just relaxed about so much and not afraid of things because it's become wisdom, not just some idea of something, then it just stays like that. So this is an important thing, like this has to be assimilated in this way. And what happens then is so the more we get, it's clear, the more I take it as a fact, then what resistance is there? Okay, if I have to die, now okay, I have to die because I take it as a fact, I understand it. Something I take, this is how things are, then why will I fight? What's there for me to fight against? What's there for me to, you know, resistance means non-acceptance of something. I don't understand, I don't accept. In this way, can't be, so I don't accept that. I won't, accept something as it is like this. So this is what happens. Interesting then, one thing about a lot of the texts is they give illustrations. Many illustrations are given. And we have to learn from the illustrations. It's fault in all the religions that people take it, this is the gospel truth and that's it, instead of what can you learn from it? Like, this one point one teacher is giving said, look, people will say, in the text it said, this king ruled for 10,000 years, right? And then renounced, went to the forest. They'll say, what kind of nonsense story? What can I get from that? Who lives that long can rule 10,000 years? It's nonsense. He says, no, you didn't read the story to learn from it. He said, listen, it said this person ruled for 10,000 years, meaning he had all the power, all the enjoyment, all this for so long, and even 10,000 years it didn't fulfill him. So after finally it took him so long to learn it, renounced and went to the forest. Okay, the world isn't going to do it for me. Like this. You have to read it like this. So same way, we have all these stories, the Rakshasas, that they do a lot of tapas. And a lot of them ask to be, I want to be immortal, right? Now, I'm going to tell you, you say, I want to give you a gift, Gajanan, please, what can I give you? I say, please give me this sweater. Say, no, I can give you a nicer sweater, a newer sweater. No, please give me this sweater. No, but you already have that sweater. How am I going to give it to you? Like this. So in this way, God can give them something they don't have. Please give me. I can't give you that. Why can't the God give them that? Because the person is already, Atma is immortal, can't give. So the Rakshasa wants to be immortal, meaning, but wants to be individual. The ego wants to be immortal. Ego wants to be immortal, but then never manages to. Wants to cheat death, but it can't. Then eventually, they try to do it. They do tapas. They do, because they do a rajasic or tamasic tapas. So then that causes the ego problem. And then, eventually the ego is going to get hit here or there, and get hammered. That's what happens. But in any case, they want to be, not to die, but they have to die. So it shows no matter how much tapas they do, they still have to die. So in this way, people say they're yogis, Himalayas, they're there sitting so long, samadhi, this, okay, maybe stretch their lives, but still the body itself will die too. It's not going to stay forever. you know, the earth will only maintain for so long, right? When the earth goes, where are they going to sit to meditate? So in this way. So the fact and accepting it in this way. And what happens also is when we have some sort of affliction, let's say physical disease, we go to the doctor. Okay, there's a problem. Then there are three types of problems that there might be there. One type of problem is, yes, the doctor says, yes, yes, I see, this is infection, and I'll give you this medicine, it'll go away, and after a few weeks it goes away. That's one type, which isn't as serious, which will, you know, which you take care of a little bit and it goes away. Or it says, you know, adjust your diet or something like this, and then with some time, it's fixed. Okay, that's one type of disease you can have. Second type is that the doctor will say, you know, it's a chronic situation. You can't, you know, it's not going to go away, but you can manage it. Some people are diabetic, you know, have some level of diabetes, and they manage it, right? They don't eat sugar, they have to keep away from sugar, they maybe take some insulin, some medicine, but they manage and they live normal life, no problem like this. So this is the second type of disease you can't get rid of, but, you know. Another type is you can't do anything about. Sorry, we can't do anything about it. Stage 4 cancer, sorry. You know, you live maybe 6 months, but I can't do anything about, you know, maybe alleviate some pain, but the disease itself I can't do. Certain things like this. So these few things are there. And so, yeah, we have to take care and maintain, but what happens with our karmic things also, they're like this, but with the karmic thing, we don't know which it is. So we have to do our best diligence, and that's it. Due diligence, do our duty. That's what we can do. We don't know. You don't know a situation exactly what it is like this. You can't always tell. The doctor can't always diagnose properly. It'll be one of these, right? The doctor will say, this, I can see, it falls under one of three categories. I'm not sure which one it is. So we'll do what we can. You say, okay, we'll do what we can. That's it. The funny thing, though, is when you go to the doctor and they just say, okay, there's a slight chance, so let's do a test. And we think that slight chance is going to show, you know, that, okay, we'll do a biopsy. You know, there's a very slight chance. What is the percentage of people? It's like 5% maximum chance it'll be like this. So my mind is, I'm in that 5%. Where instead of, yeah, most chances it's 5%, most chances it won't be, okay, let's use the test. We think like that. But in any case, so the death is in the third category because it's something you can't do anything about. Right? That's what it is. So that's where it's at. Somebody that says, okay, they're going to die soon in this, okay. Gata suna, gata suncha. Okay, it'll go soon. Okay, no problem. So in this way, and actually knowing that, think of that, people that know, then a lot of times, okay, now they put things in order, okay, try to fix things, do what they think is important, do what they really wanted to do. When my mother was dying, some friend of hers went and two of them went and they traveled a lot. They said, wow. Somebody's, you know, tomorrow it'll be us too. We're not too old yet. Okay, let's go travel while we can. You know, like this. Somebody else's person died, so her sister we know well. So she now has a lot of stuff. Okay, I'm getting rid of a lot of things. So our sister had so much stuff they have to clean out. Why this? Why bother? Why all this stuff? I should simplify. So learn from it. So we can learn in this way. So here learning from others. So learning, seeing all around us, all the time, everybody is, you know, going, everybody's on the way to die, me too. We're gonna also, our turn too, like this. And then of course, something goes into potential state, something eventually will come out. Where did the individual come from? It says that that whatever born will die, whatever die will be born. Well, whatever. Where did this whole individual come from? You have a seed, this tree came up. Oh, wow. No, the seed was just created from scratch, and this is a whole new thing. No, it can't be. It has to be from the other tree, and its evolution of plants over time, it can't be like this. So we come out with this whole personality, all these different things. Where did it come? Just by chance, like this. You know. So, argument that it just you know, happens to be, you know, just everything's just hereditary in this. It's not a very strong argument like this, because there are enough cases where how come this person has such knowledge of something, understanding something, some problem of something. Where did it come from? It had to be there for some time before. Namaskar. So in this way, there's that. So it won't really fly like this. So comes out of the potential. I mean, potential was there. Potential is there, has to be created from something before. It doesn't just come by itself. Something has to put it into motion from before. When something goes into potential and then comes out. You buy the battery. Oh, from nowhere the energy is there. No, that amount of energy was put in, now it comes out. It's in potential form and the battery comes out. So the person is born, meaning that whole potential was there. It had to be created before. So that in this way. So it doesn't make sense. Comes out of nowhere. They should show this for in schools here, this video. Years ago I'd seen, and now of course, now with the internet, with YouTube, you can find it. It was called Incarnation Coming Back. And in there it gave, you know, things where people remember from previous life, there's no other way to know. Like this is like little child who suddenly plays this piano stuff. Nobody taught him. Or this lady lives in Australia. She's never left the country. She remembers being a student in Scotland at some university, something. So they bring her to that town. The town has changed, goes 150 years ago. Walks, finds the way to university and says, oh, there used to be a stairway here. They go to the library, to the archives. Only one person has the archives. Nobody even knows about. They take out, there was, you know, long, long time before they changed the structure. So things like this that, you know, so it doesn't make sense otherwise. And you've probably seen things like this. So it doesn't make sense otherwise in this way. So in any case, so these are just a few points about this. And more than telling about, yes, you know, Jivatma was born now, was born before, dying this. The main thing, one of the main points is saying is just the acceptance. What is inevitable, that's how it is. You know, so why cry over the spilt milk? It's natural, it'll be whatever. It's born, will die, finished. What else is there to make noise about? It's nature. So let's see the next verse here. Avyaktadini Bhutani, number 28.
Avyaktadini Bhutani.
Vyaktamadhyani Bharata.
Vyaktamadhyani Bharata.
Avyaktani Dhananyeva.
Avyakta nidhananyeva.
Tatraka paridevana.
Tatraka paridevana.
So from the beginning, I'll read the Sanskrit. O Arjuna, beings are unmanifest in the beginning, are manifest in the middle, and unmanifest in the end. What is the use of grieving over them? We had mentioned before, and when we introduced, that everything comes from unknown before, unknown after. That's the, right? And then appears in the middle. So that's the nature. Life is a short time, measurable time. The rest, it's, you know, from unknown to unknown. So this short time in the middle where we're taking and looking at. But that's natural. That's how it is all the time. Like this. And then what happens also is that it comes out of unknown, goes to unknown, meaning it goes, avidya means potential state. Because what happens is nothing can be totally destroyed. The whole universe, all the matter energy of the universe is there, and it's always there. It's not that before it's in potential, then manifest, then unmanifest. Nobody can you add 1 ounce of matter to this universe? Can you add it, right? You can't add. The God can do everything, but the God, all-powerful, cannot add an ounce of matter because it's always the same matter. It's always same matter energy. You can't, whatever's added, it's still part of what's there. It comes from the potential, goes back to potential, from unmanifest this. So avyakta, unmanifest, and then becomes whatever is vyakta now, whatever is manifest now, before is unmanifest, tomorrow will be unmanifest. This out as the wave comes out of the water, goes back into the water, like this. That's just how to see, that's not something that you can add or change to it in this way. This is what's being pointed out. Now what happens is, everything then is change. Every moment things are changing, right? Every moment changing. So every moment is changing. Birth is also a change. And death is also a change. And actually, any birth and death is there. A birth is death in this way. The birth of the seedling, I put seedlings. Now the seedling was born. Where did the seed go? The death of the seed was birth of that. Now the plant is going. Where did the seedling go? So I say I was a, you know, my child or grandchild was a toddler. Now they're, now they're going to school. So the where did the toddler go? The toddler had to go for the first grader to come. Right? Now they're a teenager. Not too many years ago. Now, that's actually not a few years ago. It's probably more than 15 years ago now. It seems a short time ago. First time I heard preteen. One of my wife's students says, I'm preteen now. She must be late 20s. Preteen. What is preteen? I never heard it. A new term came not too long back. Okay, now for the child to go, preteen has to be, preteen is there, where's the child? It has to merge and go into that. Then the college student, then, you know, now adult, now getting married or whatever, career. Where did that one had to go for this one to come? So every moment, for the next moment to come, the previous moment has to die. For this moment to be born, today, you know, this Sunday was born because yesterday's day had to go. So everything goes for something to come. So that's why people say, you know, Brahma Vishnu Mahesh, right? They say like this. Brahma Vishnu Shiva, they say like this. As though we have the three different guys sitting there, and they're sitting comfortably, their consorts are doing the work, right? So now you have six. And then they add some other, you know, Ganesh Subramanian, and they want to make a family to make it look like us and all this. But these three, as though three different things. The moment something is born, meaning something else was destroyed. So Shiva and Brahma, how can they be separate? And then you'll say, oh, so there's them and Vishnu. That's why Vishnu is the greatest. Look. But every moment is changing. So Vishnu's lost his job. Vishnu's going to have to go to the unemployment department because nothing's changing. But there's some sort of regularity. Some regularity. So you can't separate because change is every moment. So creation, destruction is every moment. So birth, when something is born, as though it's a continuum. You know, if you look at the plant, right, the seed, you soak it, slowly grows, you'll see there's a continuum. The child, the baby first, you know, once the baby's in the womb, slowly growing, it's continuum, right? There's always a continuum, everything. Growth, decay, it's a continuum constantly. And so, yeah, so we see the difference of the conscious person behind it. That's what we see in this way. So that's really what we're looking at. But the whole thing is this one continuum going constantly, from this to this to this. And so the thing, though, is, of course, going back into our Vedantic perspective, because although we're talking about hypothetically, okay, Atma, you know, Atma, then still nothing to worry about. That's what he was telling Arjuna. So true, because it's just natural, but what to do? We can't run away from, even though it's about that, we can't run away from main topic. Okay, so there's the continuum happening. Continuous change, meaning if there's continuous change, something is there. Not everything's changing. Something has to be constant. Otherwise, you wouldn't connect it to the previous, right? Let's say you see a movie, and every moment everything changed. You'll go crazy. You'll say it's modern art. A modern art movie where there's no connection previous moment to next moment, so your mind won't be able to take it because it won't make any sense. Your mind will try to create some sense out of it, and all of the scholars of modern art will give all sorts of great interpretations of it because they need to have a job and they need to make their money. But really speaking, if you'll speak to them quietly, they'll say, well, we just make it up because, you know, we have nice imagination, and number one, and number two, we need to, you know, we want to have a nice job and recognition. But it won't make sense. The mind will try to make sense. So there's a continuum you see, and the continuum means there's something constant. The character, same person was there. The place, same place was there. Something. So something has to be continuous. And then if it was disconnected, you wouldn't connect the past and present, future. You wouldn't connect them. It would seem like chaos. So we connect them. So there has to be a constant. So that constant is what we see. And I know that I am constant, right? Not I, the body, mind, those aren't constant, but you put them aside, then constant is there. So in this way. So in any case, that's a bit of a side, but we have to, you know, we can't run away from that when looking at it like this. Mm-hmm. Just see. One other interesting thing. Actually from previous, where he was saying aparihariyate, a situation that you can't do anything about. One second. So the one important idea like this, but slipping my mind. The mind sometimes thinks the idea and slips. Just aside from this slipping my mind, I'll tell you the song Paramatmanandaji I went and heard, Swami Dayananji's disciple. He would be on a point like this, talking. It takes all his time. From that he goes into a side story and that spins to some branches in this. And after it goes for 10, 15 minutes, he's right back continuing. Amazing. How amazing that is, because I notice when you're talking, go under a branch, it's very easy to get lost, and then you forget, you guys that are coming, especially Shaila knows, I forget where was I talking that from? Amazing how like this, how clear and comes back to, it's totally clear, everything's connected. Really amazing how he did, you know, like this, amazing mind, how like this. There's one other point that was there about the inevitability of something like this, which was a good point. Let me see if I had it in notes here. Otherwise, what to do? It'll come when at the right time, like this. I don't see. Oh, yes, this is the point about the aparihariya, the situation which you can't do anything about. That I want to be in control of my life, right? We don't want things to be out of control. Now, we say, how much choice do I have then in my life? I want to choose. We're in America. I want to choose what I do, right? The whole world is changing like this. India today isn't the India of your childhood. It's changed so much. So what happens is, okay, now, can you choose your past? Can you make any choice about your past? Can you choose your past now? Can you? We can imagine, but that's different. One thing about past, though, our attitude towards it changes. This for sure. I can think before, my childhood was very wonderful, and then after some time I get convinced it wasn't. But that's just a mindset. But my past, the actual fact, I can't change anything about past. You can't do anything about that. So one-third gone, choiceless. Now two-thirds, your present future. So one-third is already no choice. Present, this present moment. It's already given, right? You can't do anything about what's this present moment. This present moment, I don't want to be in the class. Next moment, you can get up and leave. But this moment, you're here. You're stuck. What can we do? So two-thirds, the present also, you have no choice about whatsoever. Now future. Oh, future. One-third. At least they gave me one-third, right? Now, can you control what the weather will be like afterwards? You can do some less emissions, but you can't really. Can you check, you know, most of the things future you also don't have control over, right? Small say, you can do a few small things, you know. You can decide to eat this or not eat that, to say this, not this, to go this, a few things. But all the other stuff around, you don't have choice. so much. And even all, so much what I'm doing, so much of the conditioning is already there, that even within there, the choice is so minimal and small. Like now I'm going to say, I'm going to speak Thai in Tamil, right? What choice do I have in that? I can try to learn and learn some, but, you know, be very limited. Well, especially as we get older, a little limit how much more we'll learn, very little, limited. So in this way, the choice is so little, and then we're worried about, you know, so choiceless situation, most situations, most of this choice isn't there, very little choice. Okay, we have to make our good decisions, make best choice in this, we do have to, but worry about choiceless, most is choiceless, so we shouldn't be worrying about it because it's choiceless anyway, like this. So, you know, death is just one of those things. It's a whole package, world, whole package deal. Most of it, how much is under, you know, I choose something. Maybe we chose to be born in a certain place in this. Maybe, you know, we chose to live a certain place, chose to marry a certain person, somebody chose to work in a certain field. Okay, but little choice, but most that comes with it is not under, it's not in my hand anyway, most of it. So to worry about all this, it just doesn't make sense because the thing is, it's mostly choiceless. So in this way, and package come choiceless, so I have to accept whatever's with the package, do what we can for what's needed, but otherwise, accept quietly, happily, like this. And actually, a lot of people when they are in a situation where they are, whether ill or going to die, you know, struggle with it, a lot of people eventually surrender and accept. Like this, some people go, you know, not wanting to and holding on to this, but, you know, but again, and make it easier by accepting like this. So there were just some points going back about a sort of choiceless situation in here. See if any other important points here in this verse about the from the unmanifest to unmanifest. We did talk about it earlier in the earlier verse anyway. So I think we pretty much covered everything that's there. So that's just a little bit, few words on this thing. And in the end, this is something then for us to come to terms with, us to think about, not for us just to take the, you know, Shri Krishna points things out, but then that it's for, you know, we have to dwell on it. Nobody else can dwell on it for us like this. It's because, you know, it's right there, and then very simple is take it and then, you know, reflect on, make not leave the knowledge as just something that's in the notebook here, like this, but think about it and then come to terms with myself, then that's what's needed. So here gives practical for even if I don't see it from Vedantic perspective still, there isn't, that it's just, you know, natural thing, that natural, that's just how it is, and then anything that manifests will go, and then like that. And then if we take from Vedantic perspective, what is Sat? That which is there, same in the past, present, future. Meaning that anything that is born isn't Sat, meaning it has to be Mithya. So then from higher perspective, the body is born and dies, change, mind is changing, they have to mithya because something changing means there's something unchanging behind it. They can't exist on their own because there has to be some substance behind it which isn't part of that change. The wave is, water is constant. The wave is moving, but the water is constant. So something, whatever is not constant, it'll come and go. Look at what's constantly there, you know, put into that. Which is more important again for us from Vedantic perspective. But even for worldly vision without Vedanta, natural thing. It's what's going to come will be for some time, then it will go. That's how it is. And no reason to fight or worry or be sorry about it after, because that's how it is. That's nature. Better to, you know, put our effort in this into something that is worthwhile than something that, you know, can't do anything about. Choiceless situations. If they're choiceless, so it's choiceless. So then, like this. Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Dachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Very good. So any questions before we finish for today?
I was thinking about the seed becoming a tree.
Yeah.
Is seed in unmanifested form or is it manifested?
Well, the thing is this. In the tree, in the seed, the tree is in an unmanifest form, right? So from the perspective, so, you know, you can't see the tree or anything there. It's potentially there. Mm-hmm. So in that way, so it is in a, you know, the seed itself as a physical thing is manifest, but it's an unmanifest tree in there, right? Yeah. Like this. So it's an example we give like that, because it's very similar to you in the deep sleep. You as the individual, from your perspective, you're not there. The individual isn't there, but it's in potential state. It comes up again. Mm-hmm. So same way, the whole universe goes to potential form. Individual dies, goes into potential form like this. Mm-hmm. So it's very similar in that way. Okay. So that's why it's a very good example of this. And actually, you don't even have to wait for deep sleep or for death to be in potential form. Because the moment, you know, when I'm present now, this moment, all my other ideas of myself, where are they? They're not there. So literally, when you're focused in something, this moment, where's everything else? Not there. Just for a second. So where are you? You're actually in potential form. Then your idea of yourself, you know, I'm very focused doing something. Where should he? No, should he? Just this, whatever focus at hand. Then your wife or kids go, oh, Dad, I want this. Now you're come back. Oh, yeah, now you're back. So where were you then? You're also potential form. You weren't there. His phone was off, it was potential. Now he turned it on to call somebody, right? Now it's up and doing, same way. So literally, this is the interesting thing. Myself as the individual is there just when I recognize it. When I'm not self-aware, where is it? That's why just being, you know, active with something, present with something, where is all this stuff? We'll get to soon. Karmanyava adhikaraste. Just focus on your action. Where are your problem? What issue is there? I'm holding on to my situation. Karmapala. Oh, now so much problems. But if I'm just focused what I need to do, where's the individual? There's no individual. Only when I dwell on it, it's there. Just like people say there's a ghost somewhere. If I dwell on the ghost being there, it's there. If I don't dwell on it, where's the ghost? No ghost. But I dwell on it, it's there. So I dwell on this individual being there. Now I'm caught up. And was an individual batch of ideas. Very interesting. So the potential in the end, the potential is, the world manifestation not in my hands, but the whole interpretation of it and seeing the big deal out of it, that's in my hands. And that's because of my interpretation. Very interesting. So that way, so the larger philosophical thing I'm putting there, but yeah, so we can take things like that that aren't manifest, that gives a very good example of something potential form like this, in this way.